Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning's message for the second Sunday of Advent deals with especially the epistle, but the gospel sort of sets the stage for the malady which we face, and that is great fear. But the gospel shows us an answer and a way out of fear through the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures. So I've entitled the message, The Age of Anxiety. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, the words from your inspired apostle are especially relevant for us living in an age of anxiety, when despair paralyzes many and few have the endurance to continue running the race of life, and suicide seems the answer. May we find endurance and encouragement from the scriptures to live fearless and courageous lives that you would have us live. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes I read a periodical called Psychology Today. And there was an illustration there in this article that summed up the author's message, I think, better than even all the written words that the author wrote. There was a box with a dozen eggs that lay open on the range, and there was a frying pan ready to fry on the range beside them. A skilled artist with nothing but a simple black marker had given each egg differing expressions. He must have worked to do the emoticons or something. They showed the same heightened anxiety. Two of the eggs were already in the frying pan. And sort of illustrates for me how we are a fearful, frightened people with thin shells. The article focused mostly on university-aged young people, but I believe that there's an overall trend in our society for people of all ages to suffer from this heightened sense of anxiety of our times. The measurable evidence comes when you look at the overall growth of psychiatry. The evidence comes also from university professors and employers who complain of their increasing workload, not in writing books so much, but in the hand-holding department. People are coming to us, they're emotionally wounded, and we're at a loss as to where we might turn. Now, the article contains some good practical proposals which can help us overcome our anxieties as a society when coping with the everyday stressors of life. And I thought this part of the article was very good, such as giving the children freedom to fail in a controlled environment, encouraging independent play in children so they can learn to solve their own problems, and eliminate the everybody needs to get an A philosophy to teach how struggle and failure can be expected in life even as we attain some success. But the church can make more profound contributions by going more than skin deep, right into the very depths of a soul, and ask for wisdom from the one whose wisdom is inexhaustible in all matters. The church can speak in deep spiritual terms of sin and forgiveness and faith and love. A prayerful reflection on the scripture lessons for today causes me to see a relationship between the apostasy of the end times and a people who are fainting with fear. As participation in Christ's church plummets, we see an increase of anxiety-related disorders in the Western world. Because without the Lord Jesus in our lives giving eternal hope through our temporary sufferings, this world is an impossible place to live in No matter what age you live in, no matter what age you are. The solution to raising a more resilient generation, which is not tossed to and fro in fear, is to give the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures. Now, someone might ask, how can mere parchment and ink change the world? Or increasingly so, they might ask, how can the particular pattern of the shades of light from this book be any different in changing my world than the particular shades of some other book coming from my tablet? Well, the answer, of course, is Jesus. Jesus and his saving work is at the center of these Scriptures, which is in no other book. Jesus is at the center of the Scriptures. And from the context of when Paul's letter to the Romans was written, we know that those Scriptures were primarily, if not exclusively, the Old Testament Scriptures. How the eternal light of Christ shone through them so powerfully that every human problem becomes very, very small in the light of Christ. Even death is conquered by the Christ through the power of the resurrection. And you can see that faith even in the Old Testament. As Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Now that's a proper expounding of what Paul is talking about in Romans 15 when he's promising his beleaguered Romans endurance and encouragement from the Scriptures. There's nothing more enduring in our lives or produces endurance or greater encouragement than the fact that we shall rise again by the power of Jesus. Of course, we want to believe that our problems, though, are greater than any problems ever faced before. We want to believe that there are problems even greater than death itself. And we want to believe that maybe the Christ in the Scriptures was relevant help and hope for Paul's Romans, but not for us. That our problems are somehow unprecedented. That our anxieties are not so easily cured. But I challenge you to take a look at this epistle of Romans and see the challenges that were faced by them, these poor Romans. Because the ones that Paul was writing to were actually poor. They were materially poor. And we know from later on in chapter 15 of Romans, the same chapter and letter from which we read today, that Christians were impoverished in Rome. And at the time of writing, Paul was about to leave for Jerusalem with a collection of funds for the impoverished believers there, taken up from other congregations and missions. He planned then to travel on to Rome and enlist support there for a mission to Spain. Even in times of poverty and want, the church's mission was prioritized. Perhaps there is a lesson for us in our time when we cry out about the lack of funds. Claims of poverty were no barrier to a church that had tremendous will. The encouragement and the endurance of the Scriptures where Jesus is at the center. They were not only impoverished, but the Romans were persecuted. What is so bad about it is that the person began from within the community of Christians that had all been raised in Judaism of their fathers before conversion. And those whose Judaism was being fulfilled in Christ were persecuted by fellow Jews intent on rejecting him. And the Roman authorities, tired of the resulting tensions and hostilities, took sides and they expelled all of the Christians from Rome. The Roman historian Suetonius mentions an edict of the Emperor Claudius ordering the expulsion of Jews from Rome in connection with a certain Crestus, which of course we know was really Jesus, Jesus the Christ. According to Acts 18, Aquila and Priscilla were among those driven out, and from them in Corinth, Paul may have learned about conditions in the church at Rome. Of course, we may experience a measure of persecution. We're demeaned and ridiculed as Christians, marginalized in national debates concerning abortion and doctor-assisted suicide, but we have not been expelled from our country. We might be marginalized, but we have not yet been cast out. And through all of this, though, the Roman Christians were unified. They were strengthened in their mission and their purpose by one thing, the thing that Paul mentions, the endurance and the encouragement from the Scriptures. They were poor. They were persecuted from the outside. They were also suffering dissension from within, but still on a mission proclaiming Christ to the Gentiles who were being grafted in. What a challenge they were facing. The hope of Christ who dies for the sins of the whole world resonates with all of the nations and ages of peoples around the world, and the established group of fulfilled Jews in Christ. They never had to really work with the Gentiles before, but now they were sharing the same faith as they. But they certainly didn't share their culture. Now they were living in community, not just on Sundays, but every day. The big thing was that their food was different. Their standards of cleanliness, they were different. Attitudes towards education and forms of entertainment would be different. And above all, language was different, forcing both groups to often work in a third language, Latin or Greek, which neither party was eager to use but compelled to if they were going to work together. Would Christ be enough to hold them together as a new Israel, former Jews and Gentiles working together as the people of God? The answer is absolutely. Jesus has always been more than enough to create unity. This is the great miracle of the church. She survives despite the diversity of her membership. So there were great reasons for how anxiety could have crippled, finished off the congregation at Rome. But they did not succumb. They survived. They flourished as a congregation. They had the endurance and the encouragement from the Scriptures. They had Christ and his work on the cross, which was always center. They knew that death was defeated, and if death is defeated, all other problems, they become small. Poverty, persecution, internal dissensions would challenge but not destroy them, for they held the Christ. It was a miracle how such a diverse group from many nations under heaven could work together as the very people of God, and yet they did. We may also do so, because their strength that they had is also given to us. Paul's letter was for the Romans, but it is also for us. Behold the endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, and know Christ at the center. He's risen from the dead. What else can harm us? We also share this endurance, the strength of Scriptures, the Lord Jesus himself, to which we say, Hallelujah. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ keep us safe in this time of heightened anxiety, that we may have our fears dispelled through the endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, where Jesus is at the center, our resurrected Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the offertory on page 193.